WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're going to be getting back out on the trail of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play like Powerball and Mega Millions and all that stuff. In the meantime, we're going to continue having these wise conversations right here at Baltimore Positive. And look, football season, I mean, I know we're going to watch football, super wild card weekend. We're going to watch two on Saturday and three on Sunday, and they're going to bring us back on Monday night. Hell, I might be snowed in with some food from State Fair, maybe some chicken and waffles or some porky fig or something like that from over in Catonsville. But it's a long, long time, and I've shared so many Sunday afternoons with this guy. And I guess over the last 22 years, we've sat together at every Ravens game at Section 513. He is in the process of closing of my closing for my condo at Mueller & Gary Realty. As we say, his old man comes on all the time and yells about politics and football. But we're going to keep this clean, just probably yell about politics and football before it's all over. But we're going to start with football. Jeff Mueller joins us here from Mueller and Gary. It has been a long, hard winter, long, hard December, Jeff Mueller. But I appreciate you setting me free and being my realtor here at the hour of need. And certainly a purple friend in the hour of need after six losses in a row. And I think you were wetter and colder than I was on Sunday.
Yeah. I was out there, just wanted to see how they would close this thing out. And, you go in thinking that you might be watching Big Ben's last game. And, as things would unfold, unfortunately, as a Ravens fan, it's not going to be his last game. And it was the Ravens' last game. So it didn't exactly unfold how I wanted it to, but it was also pretty predictable. It's like watching a rerun of the same movie over the last 6 weeks. So a lot of those games, they just unfolded the same exact way. You know, offense couldn't score and defense couldn't hold them. It was pretty much that simple.
I think we've all been involved with a team or played on a team, been around the team where the injuries have been bad enough to be devastating. I mean, we've watched the Ravens for, 22, 23 years. There haven't been many seasons where they've been completely decimated by injuries. I remember one year before Bisciotti bought the team, they were playing with Eric Green at left tackle one year in Tennessee late in the year because they didn't have players. I go back to 07 with the defense and Willie Gaston and playing with the defensive backs they had. And then the Flacco injury year when Jem was hospitalized back in 15, it was a total mess. But, over three decades, we haven't had many. But this one, if I would have had a question in the post game and I did not get a question in, and I'll be having lots of questions for the organization on my own schedule in the coming months. But I would have asked any of them, do you almost think in the annals of your career, if you're Calais Campbell or if you're John Harbaugh or you're Mark Andrews, who's going to play another decade, we hope, we think. Of course, Dennis Pitta would have thought that too. But just for argument's sake, that the season gets an incomplete. Kind of like if your junior year you turned your ankle on the basketball team back at Catonsville, Jeff, right? And you didn't get to play. It feels very incomplete. And look, I'm a harsh critic on the team. And believe me, I'm about to get real harsh on the team in reality. But not so much on the coaching staff and certainly not on the way they were constructed and the fact that they lost six games in a row with their backup quarterback and none of their best players playing. If you would have told me they lost all these guys, I probably would have said that they would have become a bad football. They're a bad football team as constructed right now with a backup quarterback running around in this particular cast of characters.
Yeah, but you're right, Nestor. But that's what scares me a little bit is that I hope that they don't use that as an excuse to not really take a deeper look into the issues that they had with this team, because the reality is that they did lose those guys, but they did have opportunities to win some of these games that they lost. And we can argue or discuss why they lost those games, why they couldn't close those games out. But there are some big issues on this team that have to be addressed regardless of the injuries, because you don't know who's coming back healthy. You don't know who's going to come back and be the same as they were before they were injured. I think there's some coaching, certainly some coaching issues that, decisions that were made, some schematic issues that I hope that they would look at as well. So
Look, everything they wanted to do schematically changes when Ronnie Stanley's not there, when Nick Boyle's not there, when Patrick Ricard's not there, when you know, literally when Alejandro Villanueva's running around, when Lamar all of a sudden is in second and 12 instead of second and 2 constantly, over and over again, so much so that when we last saw Lamar, he was running into Vikings linebackers 21 times in one afternoon. So, and I was the one being the bad guy having asked questions about that. And then nothing ever got right after that. You know, once you have your quarterback, you've committed to this offense where your quarterback runs into linebackers, and that's his game, and then he runs into linebackers, and things don't go well in December. I've called it, for my purposes, the original sin of signing up for a quarterback that takes on contact, that you should be shocked that at some point in the first 5 years, and it's taken – you know, it's taken 4.5, 5 years for this to happen, right? That he would be injured at this point. That should not be shocking to anyone.
Well, he's been very healthy. He's been one of the most healthy quarterbacks in the league since he's been here. So this is not, as far as injuries go. But that's what concerns me, is that when they got into the playoffs, Nestor, and teams took away the running game, we didn't have an answer for it. And they've had quick exits from the playoffs. And then you go to Sunday, it was first and goal from the 7. Were you confident that we were going to score there? I wasn't. I was like, we can't score first and goal. We can't score first and goal from the 5. And we had 5 opportunities. Shoot, Nestor, it was one. It was first and goal from the 3. You know how many times we ran the ball? 0.
Yeah, it really is amazing that that's supposed to be the advantage in the box with the speed of the quarterback playing 11 right. on 11 instead of 11 on 10, right? That's supposed to be your advantage.
Right. It's bizarre. And I do think that's coaching. I do think that scheme is that when you're so bad at 2-point conversions and you're so bad first and goal from 5 yards out and you can't score. Look, we all watch the red zone. Other teams are able to get in there. Other teams are able to scheme guys that are wide open there. And we haven't been able to do it. And we haven't been able to do it consistently. So when John Harbaugh says, Sunday after the game, as coaches, that we didn't help them make that one play we needed to make. I took that as he was kind of taking a shot at his coordinators there, because the defense once again got no pressure on Big Ben when they needed to, and the offense once again couldn't put points on the board when they needed to, or couldn't sustain drives when they needed to. So I think there's going to be some changes, and I don't know Steve Bisciotti personally. You know him a lot better than I do, but my gut says this is not going to be okay with him.
Well, my gut says that Steve's checked out and isn't around much and is probably looking to be at the end of his term, closer to the beginning, and won't be replacing his 70-something-year-old president or his hotshot general manager or his tenured coach. I don't think Steve wants any more blood on his hands in his ownership of making those kinds of changes. I mean, if that were to happen, I would stand as shocked as anything that's ever happened with football here since the Ravens have come to town. If there's any change in any of that. Now, Dick Cass may be walking away and handing the keys to someone else. That can happen at any point. Eric's not going anywhere. John, forget John going anywhere. His brother's going to be back in the league by the time this airs, right? I mean, literally, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be coaching somewhere. They thought it was the Raiders until the Raiders made the playoffs, right? So I who knows how this crystal ball is going to work? But I don't think Wink Martindale or Greg Roman are going out the side door necessarily. I know they've tried to portray Wink as a head coaching candidate. Look, if there's a head coaching candidacy to be had, this would probably be the week to be having it, right? Like if you're Eric Bieniemy, or if you're any of the real candidates that are out there, Quinn's going to get another job, right? The pride of Salisbury State. The Falcons coach. Did I say that right? Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
Make sure I get the name right. Right. But either way, Jeff Moeller's here, Moeller and Gary Realty. He'll sell your home like he's selling mine and getting you to the finish line. I will say this. Look, I give your dad a hard time. I try to kiss your butt a little more often. It's just kind of the way the shtick we do here. But you really have made this seamless for me. So, I've done other realty deals. I found my other realtor, incidentally, who sold both of my last two properties. I've bought 3 homes in my life. You're selling my third home I've been in, but my second and third homes that I bought, Phil Jackman's wife, Tina, was my realtor. And I have found all of her handwritings, listings when I bought my house on Springhouse Circle in White Marsh back in 1999 when Dave Muir said, go ahead, you can afford it, like the whole deal. And I found all my old paperwork. And I remember just being so like onerous and pain in the ass-ish. And this selling this place has been a total pain in the ass because of cleaning it to show it. That's been the like the that's been something that I never did before, because my place in Dundalk was so like so what it was and it didn't matter. And my place in White Marsh sold in like 30 seconds and it was sort of brand new and I kept it in good shape because I'm not a slob. But like I just remember the listing part of it and like all of that was really it's a lot easier these days, right? With videos and like I went and saw the video of my place. I can't believe it didn't sell quicker. But like but your business has changed dramatically probably from when you went to school to become a realtor 15, 20 years ago, right?
Oh, it's constantly changing, Nestor. I mean, it's and that's where the agent and who you choose is really important because it's constantly changing. It's not different than sports, you know, the game. It's not different than what people are talking about Greg Roman for. The game changes, and if you're not changing with it, you're a dinosaur. And if you're not changing with it, I can't sell your condo because I'm not doing what I need to do to get your condo sold. So it's constantly changing, and technology's taking over, and you got to know how to use it. And with the videos of your condo, Nestor, you don't see many videos out there. I don't know why, but that's something that we take a lot of pride in, is having these high quality videos. Because look, people are at home, they're on their phone, they're on their tablet, they're looking at properties. They want to feel like they're walking through it digitally, you know? So
I think the last 2 years, dude, as we go into year three, whether you're ordering broccoli tempura, you know, in Fells Point, or whether you're ordering furniture, whether you're ordering things for my new place, my wife's ordering new cabinet handles and different trims and different stuff. She's clicking buttons and it's getting delivered and people are stealing stuff off porches. And it really is like a digital world in that way. And I'm thinking when it comes to buying a house, listening to music, watching a video piece, listening to us, podcasting, whatever it is, the more we get stuck inside, the more the world changes to a 53-year-old guy who hasn't shaved in 2 weeks, right?
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And that's what you know, we have to have our finger on the pulse of the market and what's working and what's not working. So, I'm really happy that we were able to get yours sold, and I'm excited for you and Jen in your next chapter. And I think you got a great buyer coming in. Everything worked out fantastic, man. And
just
and
the way it was supposed to work
coachable.
Out.
You were coachable, right? You complained about the cleaning and everything, but
I didn't complain about the cleaning ever. I just did it. I just said when you think you only have 3 hours left and your wife's not here and you got a vacuum and you like got work to do and you run a company and you're busy off chasing cheap tricks so you can get a Rick Nielsen pick. You see that right there? So I pulled this out. How was Cheap Trick, by the way?
They were good, man. I mean, it was it might have been the best part because it was not a great game. You know, it really was pretty ugly all the way around. So although they were, you know, it's always good to see the old guys out there rocking, you know? So it was good.
Well, look, Jeff Moeller's here from Moeller & Gary Realty. We're talking about the team and the off season and these decisions that they have to make. And Luke and I will be at this and we'll be at it all off season and draft picks and all that. I think the unfortunate part of it being incomplete is for the Calais Campbells and the Brandon Williams and the Justin Houstons and the Villanuevas. I mean, I think Zeitler will be back, but some of the veteran guys, Sammy Watkins, who was trying to catch on and catch some lightning, these guys that came here to sort of rub up against the magic that is the Ravens. And the really weird part is, despite all of the injuries, attrition, problems, the team was 8-3. dude, when you're 8-3, you're 78% to go to the playoffs or whatever. When you're 5-1, you're probably 85% to go to the playoffs, right? And even though it felt weird and they were getting away with things they shouldn't have gotten away with, like 4 interceptions against the Browns and winning football games, that's going to be the hardest part. I mean, look, I saw that Harbaugh was bent after the game and one-word answers and wah, 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 you know, like all that. And I guess when it all tones down, it still will be on his record that he lost 6 games in a row and the team squandered an 8-3 start and didn't make the playoffs. But when you peel back the onion of what they did the last 6 weeks, that's why I'm not firing Wink or down on Greg Roman or whatever. It's really hard to play with your backup quarterback. It's really hard to play with street defensive backs. It's really hard to play when you're not good enough, when you're not good enough and when you were never designed to play this way, that you're playing preseason football kind of teams when you were designed to be a Super Bowl contender. And that's the real shame of it, because it's hard to do. Like 14-2 2 years ago, it's hard to do that. It's hard to find that magic. And, you know, I have no – you talk about strategy for selling my condo. You wanted to sell my condo the first hour you put it on the market. Sucks that it sat around for a year, right? Sat around for a year and a half before that, before I even got to you. So, it really is like it's part of the drill of figuring out – how to do it. And when you lose 6 games in a row, I would think that it's for these guys, for this group of people, they don't lose 6 games in a row around here for any reason. And the fact that they lost by a point or a 2-point conversion or, you know, this little thing went wrong, or even the backup quarterback throwing an awful pick down at the goal line, as you pointed out, where, and you let the Steelers win, you let them get into the playoff. I mean, it just... I would, to your point, Bisciotti might have a burr moving in the wrong direction when they all get together in Jupiter in a couple of weeks. But I also look at it and say, this group of people is going to have a lot of Jim Schwartz used to call it RA. It stood for red ass, which meant it's going to be a long week at the castle. And I would think 6 losses in a row, everybody's going to be in a bad mood for the next 7 months.
Sure. No, and they should be. But I go back to what I said before. If they just say, hey, you know what? You did a lot with not a whole lot of talent on the field. I would say that's true. But this is on the heels of a team that couldn't get it done in the playoffs. This is on the, you know, things weren't going well before you lost Marlon Humphrey for the season. Yeah, defensively. They still weren't. Look, it started off playing the Raiders and we're winning with 30 seconds to go and the defense can't hold up. And it ends. The season ends with the defense not being able to hold up and keep Big Ben out of the end zone in the fourth quarter and out in field goal range in the fourth quarter. It started and ended the same way. So I would say I do hold Wink accountable. I do hold Greg Roman accountable. What hasn't been good enough. And look, last year the Ravens lost Ngakoue. They lost Judon. They lost Orlando Brown. They lost 3 guys that – would have been impactful players for them this year. They're not losing any impactful players this year. Look, Calais, good leader. He's not impactful. Brandon Williams, not impactful. Tavon Young, not impactful. Sammy Watkins, not impactful. They're going to lose a lot of old guys this year, a lot of salary cap guys that they're not going to be worse off because those guys are out of the locker room. I don't think.
But you got to go find football players. I mean, you didn't like Calais Campbell, dude. You better – like, to me – way further, better a football player than I thought he was going to be. More tread out of him. Probably in the same way you felt that way about Steve Smith. Probably the way you felt that way, maybe even about Weddle, until it wasn't, right? You know, until it wasn't good. But in the beginning, the first piece of that tire, Matt Burke, right? You know, you brought a lot of guys in. And for me, Campbell, if you want to say, and your dad always talks about this, get rid of a guy a year too early, then a year too late. Campbell's the guy I wouldn't throw in on. I thought he had a better year than even his reputation or his size or his salary. I think if he wants to play football, you should give him a chance to play. That's my opinion on him.
Look, if you want to bring him back on limited snaps, that's fine. The problem that they had with Calais this year is that they asked him to do a lot more than probably he thought or they thought he was going to have to do. the Ravens' issue is rushing the passer. They can't get to it. Some of that's scheme, some of that's talent, and up the middle, we don't have any guys who can push that pocket right now. And if Calais wants to come back, I think he's a great leader. I think he's a great locker room guy. If you want to bring him back and put him on a limited snap count, you know, I'm all in for that. He can't be the guy on the defensive front, or else you're not getting better. You know, Brandon Williams can't be the guy. You got to have some young, impactful defensive linemen that they bring in, or else we're gonna be talking about this again next year. Just like, hey, look, what were we talking about this time last year? They got to improve the offensive line. The offensive line's worse now than it was before last offseason. So we're back at square one. So there's a lot of pressure.
They fixed the wide receivers, though. Come on now.
They
fixed the wide receivers.
They did. They fixed the receivers. They brought in some good new coaches, and that was a huge plus. They're going to have to do more now. You know, they're going to have to take that next step, and that's what I'm excited to see, because I do believe they'll do it. We're going to see changes in the next week. There's going to be some coaching changes. There's going to be some things that are changing. That's in their blood. This is not going to sit well with them. Finishing last in your division isn't going to sit well.
Jeff Moeller joining us here. He does not finish last over in Catonsville. He's first at Moeller and Gary Realty. You can find him at Moeller Homes as well. Selling my joint, getting ready. You know, so you're like a real sports guy. Like, your kids play ball. You're like all geeked up that the Orioles might only lose 99 this year. You can call it progress, you know, all of that. You know, I'm about to air my grievances in regard to media and accountability and all of that. Man, the Terps are looking for like a coach, right? Like, you're a big Terp basketball guy, but you're also like a lacrosse family. I don't think of it like that, with all your famous cousins and like all that going on. But this has been the weirdest of times. I know for you, your wife, as she's an athlete and a coach and a trainer, indoor, outdoor, are we going to play? Are we not going to play? Are we going to play today? Is the game going to happen? Is the gym going to be open? Like, all of that. Dude, we're in year three of this. This is a real mess. I mean, for your children who are in that sensitive wheelhouse of having seasons lost and screwed up in their, you know, I don't want to say their childhood was screwed up. My childhood was screwed up. I grew up in Dundalk. but nonetheless, this is, I mean, kind of had you on like 2 years ago talking about this, and we're still in the middle of it. And I don't really think I'm going to a hockey game anytime soon, or getting out, or, you know, I'm ordering some curbside at State Fair. But I think the next couple of weeks are going to be weird. And I don't know what – I think lacrosse is going to be like a big party around here, because people are going to get outside to do it, right?
Yeah, anytime that we can get back to some sort of normalcy, and we can allow our kids to go out and be active, it's always a plus. So it has been a challenge. I think everybody really has done a pretty good job of walking that fine line of when to play and when not to play, and when to ask kids to wear a mask when they're playing and when not to. I think everybody's done a pretty good job of that. The mental health aspect of this, Nestor, is so huge that you know, yeah, I've seen my own kids struggle with not being able to play. It's brutal. It's been tough. But I do think that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I can tell you that this Gilman is where my son goes. I think they've done a phenomenal job with how they're handling the whole pandemic, academically and athletically. And my son Brooks is in the Catonsville Recreation Program. He's supposed to be playing basketball, but they're doing the right thing and they're putting a pause on it right now. They're doing a great job with it. So as long as, you know, people that are making these decisions are keeping our kids' health and their mental health in mind, I think we'll be okay. And I do think come spring, things are going to be great. And I can't wait to get outside and watch some lacrosse and watch some baseball. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, when football shuts down, though, it does suck. We sit around here watching all these wild card games this weekend. And again, I tweeted right before I did the program with you. I said, man, my body clock feels like I should be planning a trip somewhere, or at least a Super Bowl, or like doing something, or going to a Terps game, or like hitting a Caps, just doing something, hitting a concert, something. Like, and I'm like, you know what? I'm moving, which in your line of work, you would say the most stressful thing I can do. I'm doing this month. So I should just settle down a little bit, be happy that I don't have COVID. By the way, I got my booster. I got my third shot over in Dundalk. I washed it down. I got some special penicillin. I went over to Costas, and I got they have this cream of crab, and then you do the Maryland crab together. It's a half and half thing. it's kind of like animal style in and out. You need to know about it. It's not like on the menu. You have to ask for it. And I did that with a 16-ounce ice cold domestic refreshment. And I did fine. I mean, like literally, I'm on my third shot now. I feel like I'm – whenever Billy Joel's ready to play again, whenever Merriweather's ready to open up again, I'm – you know, I'm ready to be a part of it. But are they going to play baseball? I mean, I don't want to bring this up with you because we get sideways, especially your old man and me. Like, it's not even worth me talking to him about it because he's not even reasonable. But, like, these jack wagons are out of work again.
I hope so, man. I hope so because, you know, there's, you know, I want to see Grayson Rodriguez. I want to see Adley Rutschman. I want to see some of these young guys. I mean, that's what we've been waiting for and being patient for is the, you know, this young talent that is supposed to be the savior of the Orioles franchise. It's supposed to be, you know, that's what we're waiting for. And I want to see him play. So I hope so, but I haven't heard much, Nestor. Have you? I mean, it doesn't seem like there's been a whole lot of movement.
Whatever you do, don't go to MLB.com because they don't have any players there. They don't talk about – that's the talent. We don't talk about them anymore.
Right.
They're ingrates. They're, you know, they're not worthy of being on Major League Baseball. Dude, it's insane. Then he's firing Ken Rosenthal over all this.
That's crazy. Unreal. Unreal. Yeah, that's not a good look.
Listen, I'm going to get Bordick. And listen, what we're going to do when the pandemic subsides a little, we're going to go over to El Guapo. We're going to create a crab cake over there because I'm just in the mood. I've been in El Guapo mood lately because of the carnitas. I don't know if you had the carnitas. Unbelievable. So we're going to go over and we'll get Kolarik, you, me, Brooks. I'll fix my back. And we'll just go down, you know, right around the corner there and we'll hit some fungos. You know, right over on the elementary school, and just that's baseball. That to me, that's how I can enjoy baseball again. All this waiting on millionaires and billionaires to stop fighting so we can lose 99 games. You know, I mean, give me a beer at Merriweather and hit me some fungos. That's what I say. Let's talk Field of Dreams, League of Dreams, all that stuff, right?
Love it. Love it. Yes. That works,
yes, and
man.
Yes. Well, yeah. Bordick said anytime. So, hey, man, I appreciate you and your fandom and all the years of sitting together at Ravens games and coming to an end. But it was a little cold and bitter and raw out there the other day. And I your dad and I got into it on the air last week about him never going to road games. Like, but he loves the home games, loves the experience of doing it. Even I said to my wife all these years, I wonder what it'd be like to be in the backseat of the car after the Ravens lose with Don and Jeff. Is that a long ride back to Frederick Road?
Yeah. Well, we always have our own theories of, you know, it's usually pretty extreme too. You know, things are always a lot worse after you or a lot better after you win. You know, it's either, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl or we should just blow the whole thing up and, you know, fire everybody. So it just depends.
Well, I would say this, and this goes back to my tweet of gratitude, you know, during this year. By the way, I made last year was serendipity. This year is consequences. That's my my theme this year is consequences. But I would say for this year and for kind of kicking it off and where we are, you know, I'm okay with the way things worked out on the Ravens side of things. And I'm even okay with sort of ground zero with the Orioles and ground zero with the Terps and all that. Because it is sort of a new beginning. You know, I hope that when the plague's over, we're going to have a new basketball coach. You know, I guess people will want to come out and go to a baseball game when the sun comes out. If they give them something, if Rodriguez is pitching every fifth day and, you know, the kid's behind the plate and there's a reason to go to the ballpark, people will want to come out a little bit. I do think the last couple of years of making us stay at home, that like even you and your dad braving the 40-degree rain to see Big Ben's last ride and all of that. So, you know, there's memories to be made out there. Dude, I appreciate you immensely. Tell everybody how to find you if they're selling their home.
Hey, look, if you guys want to go to MoellerHomes.com, they can check out what it is that we do at Moeller & Gary. We're a small boutique-type real estate company that thrives on our personal relationships with our clients. That's what separates us from the rest, Nestor, is that you're dealing with Mike, Gary, and myself. Very personal. But our technology is cutting edge. It's you'll get the best service that you can get. That's why we're five star on Google, Nestor. We're really proud of that.
He He can deal with anybody, including me.
that's enough, right? That tells you your all your.
There's your commercial.
Right,
that's going to be the commercial the next 6 months.
That's it.
Is that I even listened to him. That's how smart it was.
So no, it's all been great. Now, so you guys have been awesome. So thanks for having me on the show again. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll be out watching one of our local teams win a game soon. That'll be great.
A year of new beginnings around here, 2022, and consequences and accountability. I'm going to be asking lots of questions. I'm putting my media cap back on right after I shave. Jeff Mohler is here. Another Wise Conversation brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. We're going to be getting back out and doing our tour thing and bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out to everyone, presented by the Maryland Lottery. Nacho Mamas is first on the list when we rev this thing back up. I'm waiting for COVID and numbers and mask. We were going to do it this week. I mean, I had it all figured out right around Elvis's birthday, going to Nacho Mom. Has that made all the sense in the world? My poor wife almost threw me out of here for listening to too much David Bowie and Elvis on the 8th. But we are going to get the Crab Cake Tour back out. Probably going to do it in early February. Don't think I'm going to the Super Bowl, but hang in there. Don Mohler will be here later on in the week. We're going to get some Baltimore Positive going and get a little bit of virtual crab caking happening as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Ravens offseason and Baltimore Positive.